Chapter 12 of The Remedy for the Third Source of Weariness. 17. Once more, however, we often feel it very wearisome to go over repeatedly matters which are thoroughly familiar and adapted rather to children. If this is the case with us, then we should endeavour to meet them with a brother's, a father's, and a mother's love, and, if we are once united with them thus in heart, to us no less than to them will these things seem new. For so great is the power of a sympathetic disposition of mind, that as they are affected while we are speaking and we are affected while they are learning, we have our dwelling in each other. And thus, at one and the same time, they as it were in us speak what they hear, and we in them learn after a certain fashion what we teach. Is it not a common occurrence with us, that when we show to persons who have never seen them, certain spacious and beautiful tracts, either in cities or in fields, which we have been in the habit of passing by without any sense of pleasure simply because we have become so accustomed to the sight of them, we find our own enjoyment renewed in their enjoyment of the novelty of the scene. And this is so much the more our experience in proportion to the intimacy of our friendship with them, because just as we are in them in virtue of the bond of love, in the same degree do things become new to us which previously were old. But if we ourselves have made any considerable progress in the contemplative study of things, it is not our wish that those whom we love should simply be gratified and astonished as they gaze upon the works of men's hands. But it becomes our wish to lift them to the contemplation of the very skill or wisdom of their author, and from this to see them rise to the admiration and praise of the all-creating God, with whom is the most fruitful end of love. How much more, then, ought we to be delighted when men come to us with the purpose already formed of obtaining the knowledge of God himself, with a view to the knowledge of whom all things should be learned which are to be learned, and how ought we to feel ourselves renewed in their newness of experience, so that if our ordinary preaching is somewhat frigid, it may rise to fresh warmth under the stimulus of their extraordinary hearing. There is also this additional consideration to help us in the attainment of gladness, namely, that we ponder and bear in mind out of what death of error the man is passing over into the life of faith. And if we walk through streets which are most familiar to us with a beneficent cheerfulness, when we happen to be pointing out the way to some individual who had been in distress in consequence of missing his direction, how much more should be the alacrity of spirit, and how much greater the joy with which in the matter of saving doctrine we ought to traverse again and again, even those tracks which, so far as we are ourselves concerned, there is no need to open up any more, seeing that we are leading a miserable soul and one worn out with the devious courses of this world through the paths of peace, at the command of him who made that peace good to us.